This hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to NJDiet.com or call 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. Beautiful day in Chicago. Boy, it felt like football yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
It was like even in the upper 60s, there's a chill in the air.
It felt like football on Saturday as well.
It did, on the lakefront, except for the field. That felt like a sandpit. Talk a lot about the
field. Have you changed your projection for the season?
Yeah, I've got them with 12 wins now. No. I'm open. I'm open. I would. What's the over? What's
six
the total?
And
six and a half. If forced, I would still go under, but I could see them winning seven. I could see them winning eight.
I have them as a six or seven win team.
I'm not going to, again, I'm not like, I don't know. There's a lot that none of us know.
No.
I don't know how anyone can dig in, good or bad.
I can't.
About anybody on this team. We don't know Eberflus. We don't know Poles.
There was somebody called Cap and Jay Hood this morning. And was giving them the trying to shame them into raising their win totals.
Yeah, I know that.
Guaranteed that
you
the Bears were going to win 10 or 11 now. He's watching film.
Yeah. So in
everyone's getting, watching film now, and everyone
that's
knows
good.
Exactly what.
And look, the more tools out there, the more analytics out there. Go for it.
I think you're really just at that point, as Miller and I were talking, watching the replay of the game, because I don't think that any of the team film had been distributed quite yet, but.
You got a rewind button. Yeah, look at stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to wait.
Is that really watching film, though, or is that just watching the TV broadcast?
Well, it's just watching the TV broadcast because you can't see the entire field if you don't have access to the team film.
Of course.
Or the all
22. The all 22, which shows every player and their responsibilities and what they're doing.
I'm with you. We've had this conversation in the past quite a bit. For anyone to want to die on that hill of they're going to suck or they're going to be great, I just don't know.
I'm not giving you a Bears hot take.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to sit here and hope and root that they're good.
My expectation is six or seven wins. But again, as I've said a bunch, and maybe this irritates people, I'm not even looking at this season through the lens of wins and losses as the ultimate measurement for them, because I don't believe they're competing for anything realistically this year. So to me, this is all about development.
But you know, I was dug in about Nagy. I was dug in about Pace. They showed me long enough that they were no good. They were given a year too long, got them into more trouble as well. And we saw we had that big sample size where we could judge them. These guys, I'm not making any hot takes on them. I'm going to let them sort of build their case for good or bad. And then we'll see where it takes us. And hopefully we'll be happy with our general manager, happy with our coach, happy with our play caller, happy with our quarterback. And away we can go to a new stadium for better days ahead. And finally, when
amen,
like it's my, even my wife brought up, the Bears are the team with the longest drought in the city right now.
Yeah.
You know, the Hawks had three championships in the last decade. The Cubs won in 16.
I don't know if the plan is going to work, but I've told you now for an extended period of time. I actually like their plan. I like the slow approach. I like the fact that they're not trying to Band-Aid things. Will it work? I have no idea.
We will see. But the White Sox won in 05, and I'm trying to think which team. And the Bulls, obviously, they've had a long drought, too, 98 being the last championship, but it was forever the Cubs were the... We're the drought team. Now it's the Bears.
Yeah.
85's a long damn time ago. There are a lot of people who listen to our show who weren't even born in 85. There are people who work on our show who weren't even born in 85. So if you want to weigh in on the Bears, 332-3776. We wanted to read you this. We talked about this before the break. There's an article on the Red Sox in this newspaper called the Eagle Tribune. So it's like
North Andover, Massachusetts.
And New Hampshire.
Okay, so it's in the you know, that New England area.
It's in Sharks territory.
Yeah, it's in New England area. They all cover the Red Sox. You know how big the Red Sox are, obviously. And the whole article has to do about how the Red Sox clubhouse was stung when they traded away their catcher, Vasquez, who was very highly thought of to the Astros, right?
I believe he went
to Houston, who's in town now. So he was a favorite in the clubhouse, a trusted guy. And so then they had to make a move, and they went and traded with the White Sox for Reese McGuire. Jake Diekman came here, pitched yesterday again.
With the improvement of Zavala, this seemed to be a good deal for the White Sox.
So this is all about how, despite the love that the Red Sox have about Vasquez, they have not held it against Reese McGuire. And actually, McGuire has actually been pretty good in the last 2 weeks for the Red Sox. And at the very last throwaway quote, and a hat tip to a listener, give them a shout out too, because he forwarded it to us. It was from Brian, hat tip to Brian for sending this to us, and we found the actual story. Throwaway quote from Reese McGuire at the end, quote, "It's nice to join a club that wants to win and is hungry to win and be better and show up at the ballpark looking for ways to get better." And then he says, "We've got 2 months of baseball left, and the way we look at it, we hope we have 3 months of baseball left." And you looked at it and you said, that's an indictment on the White Sox.
Of course it is. If, in fact, you are to believe what Reese McGuire has to say, maybe it's spurned lover syndrome. I don't know. But at least, listen, this becomes a conversation because of what Liam Hendricks said to us, what Johnny Cueto had to say recently as well. Like, this all fits into the narrative that's been building around this team that they lack fire. And, oh, by the way, Andrew Vaughn had some things to say, I believe, yesterday, right after they finished the sweep of the Tigers, suggesting that Johnny Cueto got it right with what he had to say and that he saw more fire from his team this weekend.
By the way, the Red Sox that Reese McGuire recently,
they're worse than the White Sox.
They're 4-7 in their last 11 games since he arrived.
Yeah, I mean,
they're in dead last in the American League East. They're 57-59.
I mean, 4-7, and he's talking about the club. I mean, I know they took 3 or 4 from the Yankees, so they probably feel good. But
look, I don't know what to make of it. Maybe he was pissed that he was dealt. I get it. But when you keep hearing comparable stuff...
Nobody loves Reese McGuire like Reese McGuire loves Reese McGuire. He can't contain himself.
That's been proven, I think.
Yeah. Can't contain himself. I forget which beat writer.
Stop jerking around and read us the beat writer.
So again, the quote is, "It's nice to join a club that wants to win and is hungry to win and be better and show up to the ballpark looking for ways to get better." Whether or not the White Sox do that, it was at a backhanded shot, throwing shade, as people like to say, at the White Sox.
Well, it started with Dallas Keuchel, right? Then it became something that we heard from, was it Johnny Cueto? Or no, Liam Hendricks talked to us.
Guys.
Liam talked to us. Then it was Johnny Cueto. Then it was Andrew Vaughn who confirmed some stuff. And now it's Reese McGuire. Listen, it's the old, when there's smoke, there's some fire, right? Like,
well, the thing that Keuchel was saying, though, again, was that there are cliques. Now, again, what Hendricks told us was it is not, this is a locker room that is together, but they do lack fire. That is what he said. He dismissed it being like a cliquey clubhouse that has its groups and is divided, and it's whether it's
the
fire working hard, motivating itself, lack of leadership.
The similarity is that none of it's good.
Right.
None of those comments are good.
And then Johnny Cueto, Johnny Cueto says it. It's an innocent comment that, look, we're on a 3-5 road trip. We're playing the Kansas City Royals, and we're in the process of losing 3 out of 4. I think we need to show a little more fire. And it's a good statement, and it's nothing wrong with it from a guy who's a veteran, who has won lots of games in his career on an individual and team standpoint.
He said also, which I thought was the even more damning part, is if we have it.
If we have it.
So we need to show more fire.
Do we have that?
If we even have it.
Do we have the soundbite so you can kind of hear? The interpreter says
it. He did it to an interpreter, yeah.
But then this is the quote from Vinny Duber. So he goes out and says it. And again, La Russa does himself no favors, zero favors, and has to make a point that Johnny Cueto, that he doesn't agree with what Johnny Cueto says, and that Johnny Cueto needs to do this behind closed doors and keep it in the clubhouse. But he doesn't have a point even. And Vinny Duber tweeted out yesterday, asked what he saw that helped the Sox win three straight this weekend. Andrew Vaughn replied, quote, "Johnny said it best. I want some more fire, and we had some fire." Asked if he saw a difference between the previous series and this one, Vaughn said, "Big time." Like, and I think Vaughn agreed with Cueto right after he said it. Like, I think they know, they go out of their way that their manager isn't helping them at all, that their manager is out of touch, that their manager doesn't put them in the best positions to win.
We go back to last year in terms of the message that's being presented. When they had the whole thing with, who was the catcher that's no longer here, he's in San Francisco now, hit the home run on 3-0.
You mean Mercedes.
Yeah, Mercedes. Lance Lynn came to his defense inside the clubhouse,
right,
didn't he?
Yes.
I mean, this has been a common theme.
Contradicting,
yeah.
Right. So this is Johnny Cueto. Mellor, can you play it? This is Johnny Cueto from last week.
I think we need to be more aggressive and we need to show more swagger. You know, we are kind of like a comfortable, you know, we're comfort zone. I think we need to go out there and play hard and show what we can do. We need to fight. We need to show the fight. We need to show the fire that we have, if we have any.
If we have any fire, got to show them the fire. If we have any. And then again, you have Reese McGuire saying, it's nice to join a club that wants to win and is hungry to win and be better and show up to the ballpark looking for ways to get better.
That's an indictment, especially for a team that is underachieved. And again, consider the messenger, whatever you want, however you want to feel that way. But the message is simple, that this is a team that is underachieved on a number of fronts. What are they coming to the ballpark? What kind of focus are they bringing every day to improve and become the team that they should be?
Right, right. We'll see against Houston, then the Guardians. This is a huge week for the White Sox. I mean, we keep saying they're good, this stretch against good teams. Their record isn't terrible since the All-Star break. I saw, like, the Yankees have been, they're going through this tough stretch right now. The Sox haven't been as good as you'd like them to be either. And they've never had this pure hot streak like some of the other good teams have had. So we'll see if they can get on a hot streak
or
if they hold their own.
It's been a giant roller coaster. You lost 3 of 4 to the Royals. You come home, you win 3 against the Tigers. Doesn't mean everything's all better now.
2.5 out coming into this. Want to tell you, Mo's been holding all show. Mo and Frank for, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mo?
What's going on, guys? Here's going. So let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I was going to save it for Black and Abdallah.
Wait. You were going to save it for Black and Abdallah, but now you're going to share it with us. Oh, we're so fortunate.
It's my show notes.
Your show notes. You got show notes.
By the way,
Mom,
I was in Nashville.
We don't have show notes.
I was in Nashville last weekend looking for you and Cutler.
Yeah. Were you there the week I was there? Oh, hold on now. You moved so quickly.
Yeah.
Just take a breath.
Got a show notes.
When were you in Nashville? When I was there or the week after I was there?
I was in there last weekend.
Okay. See, I was gone by then.
Yeah, so you missed it.
I know. You told me. You tweeted me, so I stopped.
Did you have a good time, Mo? Did you enjoy Nashville?
I did, man. I love live music.
Yeah.
I love everything about Nashville. Yeah, I love the whole country hats.
Now,
you never get to wear a cowboy hat unless you go to Nashville.
Now let me ask you this. Did a girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend back in the day tell you
Oh, my God, here we go with the girlfriend.
Well, this is what you offered the Carmen and Yurko show a week ago. You called in making the Roquan analogy, saying that was like when your girlfriend broke up with you and she said, I hate you,
I hope you die. No, I broke up with her.
Oh.
You broke up with her, then she said, I hope you die.
Yes, that's how I feel about Roquan. You know what? Dude, blow your ACL. I don't care.
No, that's terrible.
We don't want that, Mo.
Exactly.
No.
You don't want to play for the Bears? Get out of here.
Well, he wants to be paid.
Whatever.
No. I love Roquan. I do.
Didn't sound like it.
No, it sounded like you wanted him to lose his ACL.
Well, I mean, you know, if he leaves, yeah. If he goes, if he joins the Packers.
He's not joining the Packers. The Bears aren't trading him to the Packers.
No. Okay,
but did a girl did a girl really tell you that she hopes you die?
Many girls.
Come on, Mo. That doesn't speak well of you.
Hey, let me tell you something. I've been with my wife for 25 years. I'm 42 years old, so I'm okay.
Okay, wow. That's you're married at 17.
Yes, sir.
Say so, my mom and dad. My mom and dad have been married for a lifetime.
I got two beautiful children. They're 7 years old, twins.
Awesome.
And they're Burr fans and they're Sox fans. Sorry, Sylvie. But
My kids are Sox fans, too. What am I going to do?
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you something. And I want to tell you something about Chicago. We went to the Bears game on Saturday, and we went to the Sox game on Sunday. We had a great time. It's amazing. It's easy to get there. You take the Metro. They got the best food ever. I ate too much. I mean, it's. I don't understand why people don't like
at the White Sox game or at the Cubs or at the Bears game.
The White Sox game.
Okay,
there's the best that food. Smell when you walk into that ballpark. There is not a better smelling ballpark than Guaranteed Rate Field. That concourse.
Even walking to it. They're selling street. What do they call that? Street meat.
Yeah, street
New
meat.
York style.
Sure.
I love it.
All right, Mo. Anything else?
Anyway, let's go back to my notes.
Oh, back to your notes. Okay. We haven't even gotten into the notes.
Here's my notes. Okay. So you guys, you've been around. I've been listening to you guys since Rosenblum left, and then you guys took over. Okay?
07. Yeah. 2007.
Yes. I've been listening to you guys every day almost.
Thank you.
So 2006 Bears. They were 12-4, right?
Don't know.
That was the team that went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nobody thought that they can do that. 2005.
Well, wait a minute. No.
Were they in 2005?
In 2005, they were great, and they went to the. They lost to Carolina in the playoffs. Remember that? They were expected to win. They were 6-0. They came out of the gate 6-0.
Don't rewrite history, Mo.
I'm gonna go to you with 2018 Bears.
Okay, but no. Let's time out. Will you at least consent to the fact that the statement you made wasn't 100% accurate?
The 06 Bears were predicted to win the division.
They were predicted to win everything.
I mean, yes, you're right.
Okay, thank you.
But the 2005 White Sox.
You just did it again, Mo. You jumped around. You just gave us whiplash.
I like to jump, baby.
Go back to your notes.
Okay. So, 2018 Bears. What was the record?
12-4.
12-4. Who would have thought that, right? Double doink. Boom. Right?
Yes, that was a surprise.
We have to be optimistic about our White Sox and our Bears. Let them play the season out.
Well, we will let them play.
Enjoy your season. Enjoy it.
This won't be the 18 Bears. I have a hard time.
I don't have, you know what, honestly.
Mo, thank you. Thanks for the notes.
I don't have
10-7.
I don't have a lot. 10-7. Mo says 10-7.
For 10-7.
I don't have Bears angst right now. I don't. Like, I will if things go sideways and it looks like it doesn't make sense.
I want to enter a season with
high expectations.
Because I've had so much stress these last couple years. Knowing that my coaching staff gave you no technical advantage.
Well, I had Bears angst heading into last season because I felt like that they had kept people around for a year too long.
Of course.
I don't have that angst this year.
Right.
Nor do I have high expectations.
I know. Roy in Minneapolis, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Roy.
Hey, boys. Thanks for taking my call. How's it going?
What's up?
Good. So first thing is, Waddle, you were hinting at it. I cannot wait for the Better Call Saul series finale tonight. I've been just absolutely itching for it, but also I just don't want it to end. You guys were talking about.
I have tempered expectations for tonight's episode, just like the Bears season this year.
Hey, that's a great segue to my next point, we were talking about expectations, right? And I want to know, back in 2018, like 2018 training camp, what expectations did you guys have for the Bears? Because obviously that season was a surprise. I'm not trying to compare the 2022 Bears to the 2018 Bears, but I think my point is that we had limited expectations and they surprised us in a good way. And I think, you know, I think these lack of expectations are only going to benefit the Bears for this year. And but I do agree with you, Waddle, that next year is going to be the year where we actually pay attention to see with wins and losses. I think this is all about development. But going back to that first thing, like your expectations of 2018 versus 2022. And then quickly, last thing, a show you guys got to watch if you haven't watched it. Been on for a few years, but The Leftovers on HBO is absolutely amazing. It blew my mind. You guys, Waddle, especially you, you'd love it if you haven't seen it already. Thanks, guys.
I have not seen it. There you go. I've not heard much about it either.
Yeah, The Leftovers. Okay.
Listen, the 2018 Bears season was quite a surprise. I didn't have a ton of expectations. They were a team, if I'm not mistaken, they traded for Khalil Mack. They had signed Allen Robinson, had been here already, right? Like, they were a more finished products compared to this group, but I don't remember having any high expectations.
I don't think the comp is a good one because the general manager had been in place. It was a new coach. Pace had been doing his thing for a few years and then went out in free agency, like you said, and was very active in free agency that year, then traded for Khalil Mack. This, to me, is like more like Ryan Pace's first year when you had a new coach with John Fox, a new general manager, and sort of a rebuild after the Phil Emery, Mark Trestman team. And what did that team go? 5-11?
Something like that.
You know, that to me is what the comp is more like. I'm not saying that 18 wasn't, we didn't expect 12-4, but again, it was still a team that had been built a little bit. And wasn't a new regime that was subtracting. It was in the add mode.
Well, think of who they've subtracted. And I'm on board with everything that they've done. You traded Khalil Mack, right? You didn't re-sign Akeem Hicks. You weren't going to re-sign Eddie Goldman, right? You got rid of or you didn't re-sign Daniels, the guard. You let A-Rob go. Like, they have given you, you don't even need breadcrumbs. They've shown you that what they're doing is completely overturning their roster and starting this thing over from scratch.
Yeah, it's a step or two backwards to take a leap forward, you hope.
Yes.
That's what you hope. The leap won't come this year. I don't think it will, but you hope in the big picture that they're taking the step back with huge growth in mind and to set a foundation finally. 312-332-3776. Camp updates and Twitch are brought to you by your Chicagoland Midas franchisees. And you can watch us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. The good, the bad, the dirty. Coming up next. I got something on Derek Jeter that really surprised me in the good, the bad, the dirty. It's all coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
It's the good, the bad, the dirty, a recap of the sports weekend or anything else we may have experienced. Brought to you by our great friends and partners at Window Nation. Call my guys at Window Nation. I'm going to talk to Alan Favada tomorrow.
Can I get a deal on those things?
Yeah, they're going to give you a great deal because you buy two windows, you get two free.
Really?
You don't have to make any payments or any interest till 2025. That's a good deal. That's a great deal. 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION. You get the same deal that Waddle gets, same deal that I got. Call Window Nation today or go to windownation.com.
Can we call it the Waddle and Sylvie deal?
Sounds good to me. It's the Window Nation deal.
Okay.
That's what they offer everybody. We got an interesting collection of people in front of the building right now. We got one man who's about to pass out and another man eating a pint of Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Yeah.
You got beer, too, there.
Yeah, there's an old English 800 right there that's been spilled, I think.
Yeah. All right, we'll go around the room. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty. Something, isn't it? What do you got for your good?
My good is a shout-out to my lovely wife, Cara.
Oh!
Her and her 4.0 tennis team went to Champaign in search of a state title in women's tennis. And they were victorious. My wife won both of her matches, and their team won the state championship. It means they play in the district championships in Dayton, Ohio, a week from Friday. If they win in Dayton, they go to the Nationals in Oklahoma.
This is pretty incredible. I saw this on social media.
And she and as some people have said, well, you better win some titles, as much money as you've spent on tennis.
Well, at least it's paying off.
All these trips to the tennis camps, state championship.
Right.
Something I don't have. I don't have a state title. But I don't have any championships.
Right. You are correct there. You guys spit the bit in the first round.
That's right.
You were one and done.
That's right. So my wife, congratulations to my wife and her tennis team. They are state champions.
So how do they work, like, as a team? Like, they play singles?
There's one singles match, and then I think there's four or five doubles matches.
Okay. What does your wife play? Doubles?
She plays doubles.
Okay.
Yeah. Had her hip replaced about 18 months ago. And is out there doing her thing.
Who'd they defeat in the championship?
They beat Peoria first, and then they beat a team from Barrington, which I believe John Shire's mom was a part of, but she wasn't there. Okay. She wasn't at the event.
Did they get rings?
I don't know. They should get something. Shut up, Miller. I know what you're thinking when he said rings.
I'm not thinking anything.
Of course
he is. To know what you think I'm thinking, because I'm not thinking
that. You know exactly what I think you're thinking.
I have no idea what you think I'm thinking.
Yeah. So she's got to move my daughter into Boston College next Tuesday. And, like, she's going up there on Tuesday, but you're not allowed into the dorms until Thursday. Her match in Dayton is on Friday.
It's a big week.
She's going to have to take, like, a red eye. She may have to.
It's worse than the Bears' travel schedule.
She may have to go net. What?
Worse than the Bears' travel schedule this week.
That's coming up on my list as well. But she's got to find her way to Dayton.
Okay.
To get to play in the districts.
Congratulations to Carr and the tennis team. I saw that on social media, and I liked it. I was very, very happy for
all
of
her.
My goodness, Jack Sanborn. Look, we have two guys on this radio station. I don't know if everyone knows who listens, who are the youngsters, but Waddle played in the league. Waddle was on the Bears.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Danny's sitting at home saying thank you, Sylvie.
Yurko played for the Packers. Neither of them were drafted.
No.
But do you know what they were? They were football players who can do stuff on the football field.
Which is beneficial when you're a football player and you can do stuff on the football field.
Yeah, but there are many teams that want their guys to be track stars or long jumpers jumpers. You know, they're just simply guys who know how to play football. And Jack Sanborn in his first game, local kid, Lake Zurich,
you are correct.
Of five tackles, a tackle for a loss, an interception, two passes defended, a fumble recovery. That's, like, better than Roquan's entire career right there.
Yeah, that is.
Not that I'm asking Roquan to be...
expecting Sanborn to replace Roquan?
All I'm saying is we have a need for good football players.
Was that the Sanborn game?
Oh, that's good. Now we have the Sandberg and Sanborn game.
That was the Sanborn game.
That's very good.
We will celebrate Saturday's game every year
August 13th.
The Sanborn game.
I don't know what he's going to be, but I've got room on this team for football players, damn it. And Jack Sanborn's a football player.
You damn Skippy.
What do you guys got? What's your good?
Speaking of good football players, at least when they're on the field, my good goes out to Antonio Brown for his Instagram post.
Yeah.
I thought
it was almost fake the way it read.
This is, you know why? An unintentional comedy. I can't remember laughing as hard as something, as hard
He's obviously,
as I have
he misses
something.
The attention. Obviously misses
so,
the attention.
Of course.
AB, well, read it.
My biggest regret in my career doesn't involve calling my GM a, quote, cracker, or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet, or throwing rocks at that UPS driver, and definitely doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around the Jets stadium mid-game while throwing up deuces. My biggest regret is that
my dude's out here about to throw up some deuces.
My biggest regret is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live. Sure, I can watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what that was like for all y'all to see something like that. Like,
and that's
watching
good.
Like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks.
And that's your good?
Jeez.
Shouldn't that be your bad?
Listen, it made me laugh so hard, all of this. listing every infraction or at least some of the infractions.
You're laughing at him, not with him.
And that's okay. Yeah. It's my good, Waddle. Okay. It made me laugh. Right. And find yourself someone who loves you as much, as Antonio Brown loves himself. Don't love yourself as much as Antonio Brown loves himself, but find yourself someone who loves yourself.
That's like, good advice.
That's my advice. I love it. All right,
good stuff. But what about you, Tyler? What's your good?
My good is the punt god, Matt Araizia. Did you see him? He's with the Buffalo Bills now.
We've got a punt god, though, too.
I was just going to say.
No. Punt god, punt 82 yards?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I'm with
How many
you.
Times this guy pinned the opponent inside the five?
He doesn't have to punt very often because he plays for the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
But, yeah, 82-yard punt, if you are not familiar with him, he was doing this stuff in college at San Diego State as well, and now he is with the Buffalo Bills bombing punts.
Our guy's going to get quite a workout with his leg this year.
You know, I saw him at training camp, and I don't know if you noticed this. Usually the punter is able to, like, punt it and spiral the football.
Well, they've all started to kick it end
now
over
it goes
end.
Over, yeah.
They've been doing that for a while.
They have been doing it. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And sure enough, in practice, he pinned him a couple of times, like inside the 10, and he was doing the same damn thing.
They've been doing that for a while.
Have they really?
Yeah.
Shows you how closely I usually go for
it. I think the guy from Seattle started doing it most frequently a couple of years ago. Yeah, you haven't been watching punters very closely. Now you are.
Trenton Gill is our guy. He was drafted in the 7th round by Ryan Poles.
Don't you normally, you are disgusted by 7th round picks or 5th round picks or 6th round picks spent on punters?
Look, if you wanted to get him, and they had multiple 7th round picks, I want to say. So, I mean.
Actually, yeah, listen, 7th round pick, shrewd, because.
Sauerbrunn picks are the ones I don't like.
Yes, you don't pick a 2nd or 3rd round pick on a punter. 7th round is shrewd.
I got an idea. Because score touchdowns and make that punter irrelevant.
You know why it's shrewd, though? Because then you don't have to woo them and try and sign them as an undrafted free agent.
We don't have to pay, Pat O'Donnell anymore, who's in Green Bay.
I would think this would be a perfect spot for a punter. If you want to get a workout, you come to Chicago, because history tells you you're going to punt your ass off.
Especially this year. Hopefully not as much. What do you got for your bad?
My bad is the NFL asking the Bears to travel across the country to Seattle on a short week and play on a Thursday night in the preseason. That's hideous. That's stupid. That's irresponsible by the league, if you ask me.
Completely
in the
weird.
Middle of training camp. Whereas this is the time of the year where these guys will be subjected to the largest workload that they'll have all season long. And you're going to ask them to play on a short week, whether you're the starters or you're the backups, whatever the case may be. This just doesn't make sense. You should not. Listen, I get it. In the regular season, you're making money. It's cash. You should never ask a team in the preseason to play on a short week.
You're right.
Period.
Every week.
End of story.
Yeah, I thought next week's game would have been on a Saturday again. Saturday to Saturday.
Think about it as well. Because you have to travel and you're on a short week, today's practice isn't shells.
Right. And then you got one more practice the entire week.
So what kind of a walkthrough? It's a glorified walkthrough tomorrow.
And my bad is, I don't know if you guys saw this. Derek Jeter was on the A-Rod cast. K-Rod, is that what it's called now?
Yeah, K-Rod.
Michael K. And Alex Rodriguez. So, you know, Jeter has been featured in The Captain and everything like this. I didn't remember this. There was at one time a Sports Illustrated cover featuring shirtless shortstops. Were you aware of this, Waddle?
I was not.
Former Cub Alex Gonzalez was actually on it. It was the young shortstops, and it included a shirtless Derek Jeter and a shirtless Alex Rodriguez. So they started talking about that on K-Rock, and Derek Jeter was having none of it and threatened that he would not go on the show ever again if they showed it. And of course they showed the picture.
You actually scare our producer Joe McCoy. You had that thing locked and loaded, and he never put it up on the board.
This would be my last visit here.
Was he serious?
Oh my. 2-1 Yankees are trailing 1-0. We are in the bottom of the 5th inning, 2 outs. They did it. Wow.
There it is. It was nice having you.
It's the last time here, yeah.
And then it was awkward. I mean, like.
Well, of course, A-Rod wants the shirtless picture because he's juiced up on roids.
What? This is from the 90s. What is it? What is Derek Jeter upset about showing something that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated 20 what years later? What is he upset? Get over yourself.
He's the captain. He's Derek Jeter.
I know he's the captain.
He dictates policy.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
On his show.
Oh, yes, he does.
Have a little fun.
He'll give you a care package on your way out, mister.
He did. There was a part on the captain about that, too, by the way. He said someone came up to him and said, Derek, thanks to you, I now do the same thing as you. And he turned around to the guy and goes, you're an idiot. And I guess he's denied that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
It makes for a great story, though, doesn't it?
I don't know how that started. What do you got, Meller? What's your bad?
My bad is the whole Deshaun Watson situation, which continues to get worse. Of course, Deshaun Watson, I think you could say these have been well-earned chants, but in his start on Friday against the Jacksonville Jaguars, he was greeted with this chant from Jags fans.
Oh, yeah.
It
could be dirty, too.
Yeah, so as you can tell, obviously, he's made his own bed. He'll lie in it. But, I mean, still, the whole situation now is getting very problematic for Deshaun Watson.
When's it coming out?
For the first time since this all began, he actually issued an apology?
Yeah, because now he knows there's no wiggle room. And he's trying to show remorse all the time.
In hopes of a settlement?
He's always denied it. He denied. I did nothing wrong to apologize for. Now he's like, I wish I had do-overs in the local broadcast before the Jacksonville. He taped an interview. We've got the audio. We could play it a little bit later. All right. And Tyler, what's your bad?
My bad is the Kyler Murray-Cliff Kingsbury relationship continuing to go the places that it's going. Did you see that Cliff let him call plays for two series during the preseason game?
Yes. They won't let this story die, will they?
Six plays, -2. Why are you doing this to the kid?
I don't know.
You're just setting him up for embarrassment.
Under.
You're going under their way.
Under.
Yeah.
Under.
What is your dirty?
My dirty is St. Omni. He is breaking NFL rules on behalf of Roquan Smith. Stop doing that.
Tell everyone who St. Omni is.
St. Omni is somebody that is, according to a copy of a memo obtained by ESPN, the management council of the NFL was informed by the Players Association that a person by the name of St. Omni, who is not an NFLPA certified agent, is contacting clubs indicating that he is representing Roquan, who is under contract to the Chicago Bears. I guess he is somebody that has represented players in the past in terms of certain financial deals and stuff. But again, he is not a certified agent recognized by the Players Association, so he does not have the authority or the capacity to start asking teams if they'd like to trade for Roquan. So stop doing that. That's dirty.
Stop doing
dirty
that. Pool. Yeah, stop doing that all the way
Roquan,
around.
Roquan. Yeah. By the way, today, the first day, as Courtney said, Courtney Cronin, first day since camp started that she did not see Roquan on the field in any way, shape, or form.
Doesn't mean anything's changed.
Doesn't mean anything.
But it is for observation purposes.
Yeah.
My dirty is what Doug Banks just tweeted me 15 minutes ago. I get this a lot from people. It really is something. It's a complex situation in their eyes, not mine. Doug Banks says, Sylvie, you have to step up and be a man, bro. My dad's a White Sox fan. Our household became a White Sox household because we feared and respected our dad. Your little boys like the Sox? And then in all caps, correct the issue. It is not a choice. You are the bread maker. I don't know if he meant bread winner. I make bread at home.
You're the bread man.
He's our Pillsbury Doughboy. Yeah. The bread maker.
It is hilarious that they think. I mean, come on. It speaks for itself, doesn't it? I mean, that's dirty. But a lot of people think like him. They really do. They're disappointed. What do you got, guys? Wrap us up.
My dirty occurred briefly right after we got off the air on Friday when Fernando Tatis Jr. tested positive for a banned substance and is now going to miss the next 80 games and is ineligible for the Major League Baseball.
Is that me or you?
Yeah.
Michael Kay's
you know what?
Not
it's
happy
our
about
new
it
screen.
Either.
Anyway, let me get that there. Okay, yeah. That was just disappointing to see Fernando Tatis Jr. test positive.
Yeah, that was surprising.
For a banned substance.
Quite a bit of immaturity from coming from him recently.
Sure. No? Sox won that trade.
Maybe James Shields should have used steroids.
That's a dirty comment from
well,
you.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying you're dirty.
Tyler?
My dirty is Rays pitcher Drew Rasmussen. He went 8 perfect yesterday. I just realized, too, today is the 10-year anniversary of the last perfect game. We have not had a perfect game in baseball in a decade. So Felix Hernandez is the last one.
That is right. That was just the anniversary?
Today is the anniversary.
Today is. Mm-hmm. It is something that with how terrible some of these hitters hit these days with average and all the stuff getting even that better, that there has not been another perfect game.
What year was it when Phil Umber did it for the White Sox?
I had to guess 09, 10? Google Phil Umber's perfect game in Seattle, I want to say.
You are correct. It was like Saturday afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was over a weekend.
Phil Umber.
Oh, it was 2012, actually. So 2012 had 3 of them.
Wow. So this is more recent than I thought. Phil Umber, 10 years ago as well. All right, coming up next, want to continue to take your phone calls. And something that we could all agree upon that is dirty is the Bears' field. What is the solution? We have some info coming up next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Bouchelle into traffic and an interception. It's picked up by the rookie Jack Sanborn. Lake Zurich High School's own, the former Wisconsin Badger with the takeaway for the Bears defense. Counterplay to Derek Gore, and that ball may have came out loose.
I think it was Pinnell.
Mike Pinnell was up front trying to punch it free. Sanborn came out of the pack with it, and it's Bears football with a second takeaway.
Jack Sanborn, who was a very good player at Wisconsin, was just undrafted.
That was the Sanborn game yesterday.
I love the way you termed it that.
Yeah.
But we know often many undrafted guys go on to have long, prosperous, good careers in the NFL. Too many people obsessed with
how high you
speed,
can jump, how fast you are.
Put on the tape.
It helps, but
he seems to be a smart guy. Like, we'll see if this continues to translate. A lot of people think he's a Matt Eberflus type player.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
At the very least, he can be a backup linebacker and a standout on special teams, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Cut your teeth, get yourself a career started, and who knows where it goes.
The field was terrible. That was one of the big headlines. Like, I could not believe even, like, the New York Post, they were posting tweets about it on Sunday. But J.C. Treader, I want to read you what J.C. Treader had to say. He's the NFLPA president. The Bears and the Bears have requested they start using a Bermuda turf in which they will resod after these last three concerts a week before the home opener. The field had been bad with the Elton John concert, with the rains, everything like that. We know how it's been in the past. And they're going to try a new version of the turf, a hardier Bermuda is what I've been told, and then this is going to happen a week before. We'll see.
Here's hoping it takes.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. Your thoughts from the Bears game this weekend? The White Sox. I've seen some Astro fans walking around.
I have as well.
The White Sox have a four-game
with trash cans.
Were they bagging stuff?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Any buzzers? Have you seen any buzzers?
I have not seen those. I saw people with trash can lids.
Okay. So this is a huge series, including the headliner that is tomorrow. Tell you why tomorrow is probably a historic matchup on the South Side. 312-332-3776. We're guest-free the rest of the way. So anything on your mind that you want to talk about, call us right now.